There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Huckaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. See, I told you we're in a barn. Okay, it's a Tuesday night. It is the last Tuesday of April 2013. And remember, folks, we have Jim and I have decided we want to let you know, please be aware, it's not too late to start your Christmas shopping this week, first week of May. Okay, we just want to make you smile. We talk about so many things on this show that make you think, that sometimes they bring tears to your eyes, and we know this. And we don't do it intentionally, but it's just kind of the fallout of realizing inadvertent learning. Now, this is a real term. I've used it for years working with people and their horses. Inadvertent means something that occurs that wasn't planned. It wasn't on the to-do list. It's collateral. It's cause and effect, inadvertently. Inadvertent learning means that you are educated and you learn lifestyles and habits that were not planned. Belonging to a religious organization, going to a building or structure for your entire life, constantly worshiping, memorizing scripture, book, chapter, verse, being part of groups of really nice people with the greatest of intentions and the most heartfelt energy to be closer to God, but yet it produces nothing but more of the same. This instills the psychological term of inadvertent learning. You've learned a reality. You've learned a lifestyle that, quite frankly, is inaccurate. It isn't the truth. If you feel you have an opposing view to this, think about this. It has to be inaccurate. It has to be wrong. Because otherwise, why are you listening to Jim's show? It's because you're seeking knowledge, you're seeking truth, but more importantly, you want results. You want something tangible that the world sees and that you see, that you can hold, that you can taste, smell, grab, carry, clutch, and grace will do that for you. It's designed to do that for you. Tonight's broadcast is all about inadvertent learning. Tonight's broadcast is all about grace, because one of the hardest things that Jim always comments about being on the road is that people have a tough time comprehending living in the Spirit, living as a spirit being. That sounds pretty. It sounds great. They know it's worked because they've heard of, quote-unquote, miracles, miraculous healings, which you realize we dismiss. But they find this, Jim, and it bothers them because they understand how it works. It makes really good sense what you're saying. It's backed up with Scripture. But yet, in their heart of hearts, in their minds of minds, behind closed doors when they're by themselves, they really feel lost and clueless as how to either be a spirit being, how to connect with their spirit. That they really feel they just don't have it, right?
Yeah, they. I think the place where people lose traction on this is, like you said, behind closed doors. Because to a degree, and I think back to my childhood as well, I did have a relationship with God. I did talk to God. I had some wonderful things, conversations, and the Lord speak to me when I was a kid, even though we didn't talk about that. But really, the emphasis of what you were as a Christian was more in the church related. So I think a lot of people that are especially have come up through what we've called the church or what we've called, you know, religious services all their life. I think the disadvantage is you associate what is going to be spiritual in your life in a building. And the part there that's difficult is when you walk out of that building, it's almost as though you lose your experience now. Now you're back to what you call real life. I've even known people that have said about going to, let's say, a Bible college or a Bible school to be trained for ministry, that the way that they were in the Bible college seeking God was just to be left in the Bible college. That's not real life. That's just what it was like when I was there at school. I did those things. You know, I spent time with the Lord. I had wonderful experiences with Him. But then that's just school. That's
right.
Not real life. But then that's exactly gives you an example of how people disassociate God with every moment of their life.
And inadvertent learning comes into play here because everybody will say this. They'll say, okay, well, you went to school to learn how to be a plumber. Well, you might as well forget everything you learned because this is the real world.
Good. See, that makes sense.
Okay, I've gone and do lectures, you know, help out with the seniors that are literally maybe 30, 60, 90 days from graduating to become veterinarians.
Okay.
And they always introduce me. They say, don't bother taking notes. Just sit back and listen and say, by the way, you're going to hear things from our speaker that you've never heard before in school because he's here to tell you about the real world of veterinary medicine.
Yes.
And what it's like to deal with the public.
Right. Which is sad to have to say that because why isn't the school preparing them?
So I'll walk into a room with about, maybe 30 to 90 kids, you know, and I stand at the podium and usually I'll sit down in a chair or sit on the table, you know, I'll say, well, okay, whatever you've been studying for the last 8 years, you really got screwed. You wasted your money. Because the first thing that someone's going to say to you is how much is this going to cost and why are you late? And I says, hello, it's the real world of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I says, you're dealing with someone's animals. And I says, whatever you've been taught here, if it doesn't have to do with surgery or prescription drugs, it was pretty much a waste of your time.
Right.
And this is what inadvertent learning is about. It's about getting past what reality is. Because now let's bring some scripture into play. There's nothing good of the world.
Right.
There's nothing good of the flesh. So that really means that your job, your career, the clothes on your back right now as you listen to this show, the bed you're sleeping in, the food that you're working to buy, the summer vacation you're planning, the college tuition fund you're working for, the paycheck that you're going to get tomorrow, since tomorrow's the first this week, and the money that you're putting into retirement or health insurance, none of that means anything to the real you. Because if you're going to argue with me, if you're going to debate me, then what you're doing is you're defending the world and the flesh. And if you're too busy defending the things I'm talking about, how in the world could you ever even acknowledge that there's anything spiritual about yourself?
Right.
It's impossible.
Yeah, that may be, I don't know if that would be deep for people, what you just said. Let's say that again.
Are you saying it's like crap, it's deep, manure?
No. I'm just
that was really rude.
No, I want to go back and just explain a little bit more what you said, because I've had you say that to me one time, and I had to ask you to say it over again. And well, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but...
Well, yeah.
But at least I can get it.
How about I just hold your head underwater for a moment?
No.
But see, it's backed up in Scripture. It says, why do you worry about the clothes on your back, where you're going to live, where you're going to sleep, you know, whether you're going to make it on time for bowling, whatever that scripture says. And it says, if I take care of the birds and the bees and the trees and the moon up above,
right,
why wouldn't I take care of somebody made in my own image?
Right.
Why don't people add that to their own to-do list or recipe, how to separate their true selves from this world?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you defend anything, whatever it is, if it's of this world or it's man-made and you're defending it or you're trying to justify rationalizing it, then you're literally boarding up the ability to see your spirit.
Right. That's the part I wanted you to say again, and I'm glad you did, because when we talked earlier, and that wasn't tonight, it was weeks ago, that was one of the points that I asked you to say again a couple times, because if somebody doesn't agree with you, then just leave it alone.
I don't argue.
But to defend yourself against someone that disagrees actually gives weight
to
their argument.
Let's talk about the phone call that you and I had a couple days ago or last week. Okay. And you said you went somewhere to spoke, and after it was over with, the guy that was running the place was asking you questions, actually trying to not an argument, but a debate. It was a heated discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, what should I have said? And I says, nothing. And you asked why, and I said, if someone's trying to argue religion and doctrine,
right,
and they're trying to tell you, and they want to really have a heated debate on the fact that they're right and you're wrong, that just gives credence to their mistake. It gives tangibility to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you truly have a relationship with God, if you truly have grace in your life...
You don't have to defend it.
No, if you really know that you're a spirit being, there's nothing to defend. Because the sheer fact of you acknowledging that you've got to verbally put the fire out in them shows that you're saying there's something tangible there.
Mm-hmm.
It's no different than saying, the devil's got me in a chokehold. Help me pray. The sheer fact that you think the devil could give you in a chokehold dismisses the fact that Satan's been defeated.
Yes.
I mean, he's on permanent vacation till Revelations.
Right.
So that the fact that you acknowledge negative energy, you acknowledge the fact that negative energy can come into your life, you're literally turning your back on God. You're literally turning your back on grace by the sheer fact of acknowledging it.
Yeah.
I mean, this is one of the problems that men make mistakes with women. Because they'll be in a relationship with a new one. Another reason why I'm not married, a new one. Okay, they'll be in a relationship with a new person. And this applies to women as well. You'll be in a relationship with a new person, but yet
you're still friends on Facebook, or you still have that other person's phone number in your phone, and you're still talking to them and having lunch. Well, the new person is going to say, well, if you have time for lunch, if you have time to text or email somebody or talk to somebody, why aren't you talking to me?
Right.
I'm the new person. Hello.
Yeah.
I'm your future and your present. Either be with me or go back to them. Why are you doing that? Why haven't you just made a clean break and you know, got over it and moved on?
Mm-hmm.
That's a big complaint that people have when they're in relationships with people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like getting a brand new job, but yet you leave your job every day to go have lunch with everybody at your old job. So you never really bond and have any camaraderie with your new place.
Well, that can translate over to 2 Corinthians 5:17 that says, if you're in Christ, you're a new creature, the old things are gone, everything is brand new, and that's one of the problems that we have, isn't it?
Yes, the biggest thing that I always used to, and this goes back to probably when I could just be able to walk and talk, is that I always found it amusing because people would say they've been saved and that they've been reborn. And then I'd say, well, what's different about your life? What's different about you? And they'd say, well, I'm a Christian now. I'm saved. I'm reborn. Jesus is in my heart. And I'd say, well, what's new about your life? What's new about you?
Mm-hmm.
And they had nothing to really show me. You know, I mean, they couldn't even say, well, look, I have a scripture socks and underwear now. You know, look, I have a revelation
right.
Belt.
Right.
You know, look, I've got a John the Baptist, you know, suit and tie on. There was nothing other than they could just say this.
Mm-hmm.
And so but yet at the same time, if you really sat back, and I hate to use the word, but it's accurate, you are extremely scrutinizing and judgmental of their life, you'd say that even though they're saved, even though now they're reborn, they really didn't change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which probably the only
their
thing
habits,
you'd see,
the their only lifestyle.
Thing you'd see different is on the day where you're supposed to go worship, they'd be going someplace to worship. Which again goes back to the way that most people have learned to have what you would call a relationship with God. It has to be at a particular building, going through a worship service instead of translating it into an everyday wonderful experience with God.
Somebody, actually this happened today when I was going to town. Somebody called me on my cell phone and they said, are you okay? And I go, yeah. And they go, are you in your truck? Yeah. And he says, well, where's the rock music? And I go, what do you mean? And he says, well, usually when I call you, I hear the Rolling Stones or U2 or, you know, some rock band from the 80s or 90s. And he says, it's quiet. And I says, well, I had a choice. I could either have a conversation with Jesus or I could listen to the Rolling Stones. Let's see, Jesus or Rolling Stones? Boy, it was close. Well, you know me because I'm extremely,
right.
You know, I can be sarcastic, but it's accidental.
Right.
But anyways, and they just said, okay, so you're telling me you had a choice between either talking to God or listening to the Rolling Stones. And I says, yeah, so when I got in my truck, I didn't even remember the truck had a radio.
Right.
And they just said, you are so weird. This has got to be one of your
jokes or something,
yeah,
right?
One of your jokes. You know, and I just said, okay, what do you want? You know, and then we just talked about horses.
Uh-huh.
But see, that's what I'm talking about. And it's really like that. Why would you be concerned about time? Why would you be concerned about traffic? Why would you be concerned that everybody's going to get something before you get off work and the shelf is going to be bare of that item? Why would you care what your neighbor said or a coworker said? Why would you care? Because you really have a choice. Either you're going to be connected with God or you're not. Because the Spirit doesn't multitask.
Yeah. Yeah, and the Spirit wouldn't care about all those things.
And
those
then,
things are of the world.
Yes, and you think about there's nothing good of the world. There's nothing good of the flesh. And then all of a sudden you say, okay, for me to connect with myself, my soul, my spirit, the true me, and think about this, you're made in my image.
Because if you're nodding your head right now as you're listening to me say this, you're made in my image. And you go, yes, you're made in your image. That means that every one of you is 6'2", have a goatee and mustache. You have hair down to just about the middle of your back. You're wearing muddy, dirty Wranglers and an old pair of lace-up cowboy boots right now, because that's the image of me, and I'm made in the image of God. So obviously, it isn't about your exterior, it's about your inside,
yes,
which is your spirit.
But this whole subject that we're talking about is what I find so very interesting, that as I preach this, as we talk about these things on the road, this is very, very, very new for people.
It is, and let's get some feedback going here. We got one email so far. Let me be the first to say hello, and I'm listening. I've been listening to your archive messages every day since the last show. I feel like I am addicted, and this is from someone named Donna, Donna R. Donna, welcome to the family. Yeah. Glad that you're listening. And, okay, let's talk about how to text the show. We don't have any text yet.
All right.
If you would like to make a comment, you like the show, you hate the show, you agree, you disagree, you have a question, whatever you want to do, when you text, the first word that you have to type, the first word of your message has to be J-I-M-B-J. No caps, no space, just Jim B-J. And then when you get your message typed, you just send it to 69302. There's no area code. It isn't a 7-digit phone number. You don't need to put a 1 in front of it. It's high-speed text messaging, just 69302. If you'd like to send an email, theabidingpresence@gmail.com. All one word, no space, no caps, theabidingpresence@gmail.com. I would, you know, Jim, I would like to know if our topic tonight, what people think, if it's helping, if it's hurting, or whatever roadblocks, hurdles, closed doors, I don't know, whatever cute little thing you want to say about someone saying, I'm having trouble figuring this spirit being out, how to connect with my spirit.
I have a spirit. Yeah.
Did I lose my spirit? You know, was I born without it? You know, was it recalled because of, you know,
yeah,
you know, manufacturer screw up, you know,
right.
why can't I tap into it?
Yeah, that's good. I wish those of you that are listening tonight would go ahead and send us some
response. We have one listener, Donna.
Good.
We have one listener.
Well,
Donna.
Even today, I know someone made this comment to me, and that was, I could tell you by sheer knowledge that I know I'm a spirit, soul, and body, that the three are separated. But then they were admitting to me, they said, but as far as actually experiencing the benefits of my spirit and experiencing God that way, I can't really tell you that I know that very well. And I thought that was very interesting, and I just really appreciated the openness of this person to say that, because it's the acknowledgement of those type of things which allows you to actually begin to change. But I found that very interesting, because this person, as well as when I earlier made some comments about, you know, people saying, well, you know, that's the kind of thing that I did at school when I was at school. That was just more what you do when you're at school. In other words, we don't translate that into our life. And I loved your example about, you know, well, that's what I did when I was going to plumbing school, but now I don't know what to do. I don't know what a pipe is, what a wrench is. I don't know, you know, where the water's coming from, where it's not, and how to stop a leak. I don't know any of those things, but that's what we did at school. See, that would be ridiculous. So this person also is an individual that went to school as well, that was able to say that. I know I can separate them because of what we've learned, but I don't know that I've actually had experiences along these lines. And I find this really interesting, because if you go places like I do, go to different churches all around the country, go ministering for pastors, congregations, you really, really see it. And the more that I'm sharing these things, the more the feedback I'm beginning to get from people that are finding that what we're talking about, and even a subject like we're talking about tonight, about locating your spirit, knowing that you're a spirit being, beginning to have fellowship with God out of your spirit, I find that individuals are really dumbfounded as to how this all works. And here's the interesting thing. It's not that most of them can't tell you that they're a spirit, but they have no idea how to make an application.
Well, I think it's because they... I think it's... it's not that... I don't think anybody... I mean, I'm sure somebody is, because mathematically there's always an exception to every rule. But I think it's they're virtually they're a victim. They've been hoodwinked. They've been born into a civilization,
right?
And they have subscribed to a type of worship that is inaccurate.
Okay,
it's not the right recipe. It's close enough so that it seems like it. It's close enough that it seems like you have it, but yet it's not correct.
Right. Right.
And the reason it's not correct and the reason it's wrong is because people say all the time, I pray every day. I pray for hours. I pray before I go to bed. I pray all day long. But yet their prayers aren't answered. And then they really get upset when I say, well, you're not praying. And they go, yes, I am. I just prayed now. And I says, no, you didn't. And they go, well, why are you saying I'm not praying? And I go, because nothing's happening.
Hmm.
I says, anywhere in the book, anywhere in Scripture, can you tell me where it says that you can pray for hours, you can cry when you pray, you right. can pray and pray and pray, but don't be surprised if nothing happens. I says, but it's pretty clear that it says when you pray, go in the closet, turn right. the light out,
right.
shut the door, ask, and you shall receive. All prayers are answered.
Yeah.
So, and then they say, well, then what's wrong? And I go, well, what do you think is wrong? Because if you're telling me that you're reborn, you're telling me that you're saved, and that you're a Christian,
right.
and that you believe everything in that book, and it isn't working, who's to blame for that?
Right.
Where does the accountability and responsibility fall? And then some people say, well, it's me. I'm in the way. And I go, yes, you are. You're trying too hard. You're working too hard because you already have it. It was a gift.
Right.
I says, what? You think that Jesus got the snot beat out of him and he was stapled to a fence post and then he was sent to hell for 3 days and you're supposed to do more? What was the whole point of him going through that if it wasn't to cover everything ridiculously that people do?
We've used this phrase a lot, but it really goes back to how people see things, their perspective. Because knowing that you are a spirit, and yet what BJ just explained, not seeing any answers or tangible results, it has to be perspective. In other words, what you accept to be what your reality is. I'm over here in John chapter 4, and in verse 24 it says, it is who you are and the way you live that count before God. And it goes on to say, your worship must engage your spirit in the pursuit of truth. That's the kind of people the Father is looking for. Those who are simple and honestly themselves before Him in their worship. God is sheer being itself, spirit. Those that worship Him must do it out of their very being, their spirit.
See, this is what I take out of it. It says that to connect with God, you first have to connect with your own spirit. That it's simple.
Right.
And that it's simple people. Well, what they're saying is now when you say someone is simple, you're virtually saying they're stupid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're a short bus kid. You know, or something, you know, they walk around with a helmet on or something. But what they're saying is simple means not complex. Your life is simple. Which means what? Nothing good of the flesh, nothing good of the world. That you need to make your life simple, that you need to be a simple being means that you need to dismiss all those distractions, all the things in your life mm-hmm. that would keep you from finding your own spirit. Because quite frankly, If you don't know you're a spirit being and you're not connected with your own spirit, how in the name of everything could you ever connect with the Holy Spirit?
Well, you know, remember we talked about Enoch, how it said that he found God because he believed that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that seek him or seek to find him. Okay, it goes right back to what BJ just said, and I'll explain it like this. If God is and you're not finding him, it's simply because you're looking at what is not. I'll say that again. If God is and he is everywhere and you're not finding him, then it has to be because you're looking at what is not. So conversely, think of this. If you are a spirit and you're not aware that you're a spirit, it's because your attention is everywhere but to your spirit. You're distracted. And the whole idea of living simply and honestly before God as you really are a spiritual being, it does. It speaks of everything that has to do with getting simple in life and removing yourself from all the drama that confuses who we really are. What do you got there, BJ?
Okay, we have, this is from someone named Cooper. It says, listening in South Carolina, I do not understand how to move into the spirit realm. I love trying to see grace in all I do, and I love listening to you two. I plan on being in your service this week. Can you read this? What service?
Are
you going to South Carolina?
South Carolina, yeah.
This week?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, then maybe this Cooper person will introduce himself.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, I want to read all these here. We got one, Todd. Somebody named Todd is working on a project tonight, but I, Cheryl, am listening.
Huh?
I think they're in Oklahoma.
They are. Yep.
Yeah, so Cheryl's listening. And then we got another instant text that says, great show. Listening from Lancaster, South Carolina, Stephen Braswell, Destiny Bible Church.
Right.
Then we got one here that says, I agree with Donna. Hey, Donna, someone agrees with you. That's kind of neat. Her
sure.
First time listening to the show, and Donna's already got somebody communicating. I like it when listeners communicate
with each other.
Yeah, it cracks me up. I agree with Donna. Your show is addicting, and yes, the topic tonight is very helpful. Thanks, guys. Oh, this is Sue in Livermore, California.
Oh, good.
So, Sue, hello to Donna. Yep. Donna, hello to Sue. It must be about another text here. It says, it must be about making right decisions. Can you give examples of good decisions for our spirit? See, that ties in with Cooper's about make it. And
right.
Then we got another here. It says, great topic. Need more understanding on the topic. So that's why I wanted to read all these in one big thing.
You know,
go ahead.
I was going to say one thing that really helps here. And I'm going to go in my Bible to John chapter 3. If you're looking,
while you're doing that, folks, want to let you know that if you want to send an email, it's just one long word, no capital letters, no spaces, just the whole name of Jim's show, theabidingpresence@gmail.com, theabidingpresence@gmail.com, to text the show. The first word of your text needs to be both of our names put together, Jim BJ. That's the first thing that you write, like this one here, Jim BJ, great topic. Jim BJ, great show. Jim BJ, I agree with Donna. That's how they started their text. And then you just send it to 69302. 69302. If you're having a hard time texting, it's because certain types of cell phones and certain types of cell phone plans have not updated, modernized, or they don't have high-speed text messaging available. That's why it's just 69302 instead of a regular phone number. Stacy Bullock, she says, hi. It says, missed the number to use for text messaging, 69302. She's cooking dinner and listening.
What's she cooking? We're hungry.
We are hungry.
I know.
All right, Stacy, we want to know what you're cooking for supper. It says, oh, she's got more. Pastor Darren Baldwin at a place called Melody in Live Oak, Florida.
Okay, yep.
Has been focusing on the message of grace and how grace includes health. Oh, yeah, includes health. He has quoted Jim numerous times lately. Sunday night, we met at someone's home to focus on what Christ has already provided. Pastor Darren said, hey, Stacy, I just finished reading one of Jim Huckaday's books. Wow. Hmm. And it says, I'm always telling everyone to tune in to the Abiding Presence radio broadcast. I frequently share the message of grace when I lead Bible study and just in a day-to-day conversation. So whenever you guys are mentioned, people always associate me with you. Then she says, smile works for me. Well, this is all well and fine, but let's find out what's for supper.
That's right.
Okay, you found it.
Yeah.
Where are you? Say where you're at.
I'm over in John chapter 3, and this is the New King James Version. But this is going to help some of the questions that have come in. And Jesus, when he was talking, and all through the scriptures, you know, you're looking at Jesus walking into a group of people that are spiritual from the sense that they are the children of God, they believe in God. Many of them are extremely religious about all the ways that they worship God, which all those different ways that they worship doesn't necessarily mean they're contacting God. It just means like we do today. They're religious about it. Jesus walks on the scene and begins to immediately act as a spiritual being. He doesn't do anything as a flesh being. He takes every opportunity for anything that needs to be accomplished, and he does it as a spirit. I mean, even if you look at it in John chapter 2, the first recorded miracle that Jesus accomplished, or you could say the first recorded spiritual experience that Jesus had, was when his mother said, "We need wine." Well, you know, he didn't send somebody, or he didn't run down to the 7-Eleven and get him some wine. What Jesus did is he immediately told the people, the servants, fill those water pots with water. Well, that's not wine, but notice what he's doing. He's using what's available from his position as a spiritual being, and he's making things appear as a spirit would do. So to answer some of your questions, let's just start out by looking at verse 6. Jesus says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And I want to read it out of the Message Bible. It says, when you look at a baby, it's just that, a body you can look at and touch. But the person who takes shape within is formed by something you can't see and touch, the spirit, and becomes a living spirit. So to begin answering your question, then we'll see what BJ wants to say as well. But you have to make a separation between that which is of your flesh that contacts the world and that which is of your spirit that contacts God. When we say there's nothing good of this world, you have to see that in the proper light. God made this world, and so nature and everything about what God made is good. When we talk about nothing good of the world, it has to do with society.
Yes.
Man's blueprint, not God's.
Well, I don't think people really spend enough time. See, I've told you before that I think there's a lot of waste in the book. I mean, because I think if you have a good understanding of Genesis, and you have a good understanding of Revelations, and just a few other little tidbits here and there, you got it. Cause that's
well, what you mean by that is there's a lot of redundancy, a lot of repetition.
Well, there is.
And it's obvious
and
why.
There's also a lot of things that are just like a cheerleader that just says, go,
right.
Team, go. This
right.
is
sure. Encouragement.
This is the place to be. And that's fine. That's
right.
Great.
Right.
But if you look at Genesis, you really look at Genesis for what took place. Adam and Eve, they really were a couple of malcontents. Because look what he did. He took two people that walked with Christ. They were in the Garden of Eden. Everything was provided for them. And their punishment was what?
Right.
To be self-conscious of their bodies.
Right, to be flesh beings.
To be competitive with each other.
Right.
To work really hard. To have painful childbirth. He even took the wheels off of the serpent, turned it into a snake and said, you know, I'm not just going to take your wheels away and make you crawl on the ground. I'm going to put poison in you. And you're going to bite at people's rear ends.
And they're going to step on your head.
Yeah, and they're going to want to kill you for it. I mean, look at how far he really swung the pendulum.
Yeah.
from good to this is really bad.
Right.
And what that says is okay, Adam and Eve's consciousness of their body was changed.
Yes.
Because it was all about the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they had to work, ash to ashes, dust to dust.
Right.
It showed that there was nothing good of the world. That if you focus on what you think is your day-to-day existence, you are going to have nothing but major lifelong disappointment.
Right.
Trying to connect with your own spirit, let alone with the Holy Spirit.
Right. Yeah, you'll be running around chasing your tail after things that have no importance compared to the things that do.
It says, okay, we got, it says, here's a text. I have heard the emotional center of your spirit is your belly. That is where peace and joy abides. What is your thoughts? Thanks for this topic tonight. Well, to me, the center of my belly, it feels best
when it's got food in it.
No, well, not just any food. Cherry Kool-Aid.
Right.
With Cherry Kool-Aid ice cubes, Rice Krispie squares. To me, the farther I'm away from people, the deeper into the ranch I go with my dog Ranger, with nature, rabbits, ticks, bugs, bees. You know, like today, me and Ranger were mowing horse trails.
Mm-hmm.
I'm deep in the ranch. You know, I'm like a half a mile from anything, any direction. And I just turned off the lawnmower, and me and Ranger just sat there because she rides on the lawnmower with me. We just sat there and watched a hawk circling around, you know, looking for
right.
a snack.
Right.
And I watched a cloud that came by, and I listened to the wind, you know, going through the trees. And I just said, thanks, Grace. This is great. I appreciate it. And it was just a nice, peaceful moment. We got another. What about you? What are you? Is it your belly? Is that, or is it just gas?
Well, they're alluding to some scripture that says out of the belly, rivers of life will flow, and then other scriptures that talk about the spirit of man is found in the belly. But they're talking about the center or the core of your being.
I know
what they're talking about, not Jim, just physical belly.
I know your family's big cabbage eaters. That's all I'm going to say.
No.
Okay, we got another text here. It says, when I look at the story of the beggar, whom Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, and he took him by the hand, and the man received strength. Do you know what he's talking about?
Yeah, Acts chapter 3.
What's strength? Because to
strength.
Me... strength. Oh, I bet it must be strength.
He couldn't walk, so he received strength to walk.
In my world,
yeah.
Stren, that's all the message says, that's a really good, high-quality fishing company, fishing line, Stren Fishing Line.
Really?
And I thought, wow, the guy was teaching him how to fish. We got another one here. It says, when I look at this, it repeated. So the person sent it twice.
Okay.
And then the second time it just says STR, stir. Okay, we got an email here. This is from Donna, the new listener. It says, I agree with you, Jim. In this application, my pastor has stated many times that we are a spirit possessing a soul and living in a body. I don't think I have ever heard a sermon on the application of spirit as it relates to making a connection with God. Since I have been listening to the show, I wake up in the morning acknowledging that I'm a spirit. See, I think that Donna is on to something here. I don't remember what it was. Do you remember when we did the show and I said that one of the saddest things that I notice is how much people miss grace every day?
Right. Right.
They just don't see grace working.
Right.
It's just, you know, like it's like that thing when someone goes, ew, you know, and they put their hand over their head like, well, they didn't get that joke.
Right.
You know,
right.
People, they don't see grace. Because if you're looking for grace and you're seeing grace, then grace thanks you by eliminating everything else that you would have been wasting your time seeing
mm-hmm.
and doing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But see, it's really hard for, I think it's really hard for some people to do that because their lives are so caught up in the moment of the flesh in the world.
Yes.
They've got to go to work. They've got to make money. They've got to take this prescription. They've got to do this. They have to do that. Well, the only person that is getting any enjoyment out of this is negative energy.
Right.
I mean, you know, you can call him Satan, negative energy, the devil, whatever you want. He's sitting in a lawn chair on vacation, and he's saying, yes, yes, I want you to be wound up tighter than an eight-day clock. I want you to worry about traffic. I want you to worry about losing your job. I want you to do this. I want you to do that. Because when all those things are drowning your mind, where is there even room for Christ?
Right.
How would you spot grace? You couldn't find grace with two hands and a flashlight if you were in a bag.
Yeah, I've got some scripture here that I think will help them. It says over here.
It talks about bags and flashlights?
Well,
I really need to pick that book up once in a while.
Yeah, you do. Over here in 2 Corinthians in chapter 10, we find some interesting thought here where Paul's talking about just the day-to-day things that we walk through and how they can overcome you. And it says in verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. In other words, though we have flesh, we're not living life by the flesh, is what he's saying. And he goes on to say, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, or in other words, are not fleshly, but mighty through God to pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of God. So Paul's trying to help us here to show us that when you are connected so strongly to your flesh, then the arguments, the pretensions, the imaginations, your thoughts will be against your spirit because they are fleshly. So even going back to what Jesus said, that which is of flesh begets flesh, or that which is of the spirit, it begets spirit. So you have to make a distinction between the two. You have to realize, what does the spirit think like? How does the spirit function?
There you go.
And that goes back to the absoluteness of God. And this is something I find to be real interesting. People, again, and you've heard this before, but people, again, do not take spiritual things with absoluteness. They seem to muddy the water the way that they see the flesh world, and they bring that over into the spirit world, and you can't do that.
Why would they, Jim? How can they, Jim? Because what is absolute about the world?
Right.
What's absolute about their life? They get, if they're sick and they don't get to work, they got vacation days, sick days. If they don't like the person they're with, they can break up with them, get a divorce, find somebody else. You know, I mean, it's I mean, it sounds really bad, but many, many years ago in my 20s, I was pretty seriously involved with this barrel racer, real nice looking little redhead. She had a great horse, by the way. Yep. She was always winning, and I used to do all her shoeing, trimming, and you know, take care of the horse. And her dad says, well, he says, what's your plans if, you know, things between you and my daughter, you know, get a little rough? And I said, there's barrel racers all over the place here. Well, you know, plan B. And he goes, and, you know, me, just right. My personality, when someone says, excuse me, I literally say the same thing at the top of my lungs. I know they're saying, you know, excuse me, I can't, you know, believe you'd say that. But, you know, me, with my twisted way of looking at it, I just say it louder. They say, no, I heard you the first time. I go, well, you know, and I said, yeah, you know, well, you know, things get rough or doesn't work out. There's barrel racers all over this rodeo grounds.
Oh, shit.
So it did. That kind of started, you know, the downhill slide of things.
Yeah, I can see it going south.
But see, the thing is that we're back to inadvertent learning.
Yeah.
Where we started the show. And people shouldn't feel sad. They shouldn't be mad. They shouldn't feel like they were misled and they bought a car that's a junker and it, you know, they got, you know, a lemon. They should be glad if they think or feel that way, because now they know. that there's a choice to be made.
Right, right.
That there is an alternative. Because a lot of people, I find, what they do is they'll go from building to building, structure to structure, and for about 6 months to a year, they'll try out all kinds of new places of worship on a Sunday morning to find one that isn't offensive, to find one that they can kind of compromise and agree with, that it just seems to be a comfortable fit. But yet at the same time, no answered prayers.
Yeah, well, usually
no relief in sight.
People's validation is usually based on how they measure up to other people.
And see, and the inadvertent learning is when you're, think of this, you go someplace on a Sunday and you've gone there for 15 years and you and 400 or 500 other people are there. You got married there, you've gone to weddings and funerals there, baptisms there, whatever else they do in those joints. And, well, what kind of inadvertent learning is that? It is so ingrained that people literally think that when they're in a hospital, they can't pray in the hospital. They ask the nurse, do you have a chapel? Do you have a priest or a minister, you know, a reverend on staff? And they say, oh, we do. And yeah, you go to the fourth floor and take two lefts and a right and, you know, hop up and down three times, hold your nose and, you know, burp twice. And yeah, that's our chapel. It, society and civilization after 2,000 years of Jesus being gone has decided that to be closer to God, to have a connection with God, it has to be special and it has to be an official, certified, special place. The sheer, if you look at that from an absolute spiritual standpoint, what they're really saying is, if you want to be with God, if you want to have a connection with God, it's here or not at all.
Yeah, and so if we go back to some of the questions that were asked, this is really great answers to those questions, because realizing that your lack, at least at this particular point, of really fellowshipping with God by your spirit, who you're seeming to have difficulty locating, it goes back to these essentials that have been inserted into our minds and our thought patterns and our way of life for years. And, you know, the idea that everybody is an individual and everybody has an opportunity to experience God on their own, that's the whole idea that Jesus brought. That's really what made the Pharisees so mad, is that Jesus, being a man, was saying that I am God's son, that God is my father. And Jesus didn't come to say I'm the only one that can have God as my father. He came telling everybody that there's a new day and a new horizon, that it's not just the priest or the prophet or the king that has God's presence with them. It's a new day for everyone to be a part of a family. And the family is the family of God. And there's a change in your heart. And when that comes, you're going to be able to experience God out of your spirit. I want you to think of something here. Jesus made a comment over in John 16 and verse 7. He said, it is very advantageous for you that I go away. Now think about the struggle that the disciples had when Jesus started talking about things like, he said, in a few days you won't see me, but then in a few days after that you'll see me again. And the disciples were, man, they were so distraught. And Jesus said, why do you reason about my saying that in a few days you won't see him, and in a few days you will see me? And they said, because we don't understand it. And he went on to share with them that he was going to die, and that everyone around him, the Pharisees, they would be glad, but the disciples would be sad. So I'm putting a picture to you that when Jesus made the comment, it's to your advantage, to the disciples. Did they feel like it was an advantage for Jesus to go away? No. I mean, the very thing you could say that they feared the most was, is their little happy band of going from city to city someday was going to dismantle.
Yeah.
They wanted to be around Jesus. And Jesus is saying, no, I actually have to leave, and then it's going to be to your advantage. What was he saying? Everybody can now live by the Spirit and have constant contact and fellowship with God. that the greatest time you've had with me can be multiplied in you every moment of your life. Mm-hmm. And this is something that organized religion fights, because they don't want people to have an individual advancement.
Okay, let's do another check on the weather here. Let's see what the climate's like.
Okay.
If you want to email the show, you can email the show. It's all one long word, no spaces, no capitals. TheAbidingPresence@gmail.com. TheAbidingPresence@gmail.com. The text message is very easy. You just, the first word has to be the word Jim BJ, J-I-M-BJ, the two names put together. Jim BJ, I like the show. BJ, Jim BJ, I have a question. And then it's just a five-digit number. 69302 is the number if you want to do an instant text message to the show. You know what we need to do is we need to, on the contacts page, we need to have how to text the show.
You know what? You're right.
Redo the contact page on your show's website.
I'm gonna write that down and.
Yeah. Have your contact page.
Okay.
Completely redone to say how you email the show, and how you instant text the show, so that during the show we can just say, well, go to the Abiding Presence website, contact page, and the instructions are written down. Because we've had somebody says, I had a. Actually, someone went on my Facebook page and said, I didn't get the telephone number to text the show tonight.
Okay.
69302.
Yeah, excellent. We'll do it.
Okay. What are we talking about tonight?
Hey, I think it's going pretty good. And
I hope it's going good. You know, I don't get concerned or worried, but I get very curious when emails and text messages kind of screech to a halt. Because it makes me wonder if either we're talking too slow, too fast, we're not really giving them detailed information.
Hmm.
You know, like we're just going too fast, or we're confusing. Because I really, you know, the couple emails and texts that we've had tonight talking about understanding, need more understanding on the topic of being a spirit being. I hope we're serving that.
I do too. And I'm going to finish something that I started there, talking about Jesus and saying that he was going to send the Holy Spirit and it would be an advantage. I want you to think for just a moment, because after 4,000 years from Adam and Eve and them accepting a new normal and buying into it, and everybody bought into it, where the flesh is now king and the soul, your mind is renewed to your flesh, your senses. And that's the reason why Paul would write something that says, we walk by faith, we don't walk by the senses or by sight. Paul later would say some other things like, don't look at the things which are seen because they're temporary. Look at the things which are eternal or unseen because they're eternal. Paul's trying to help us here. And so to finish my little thought, man being so given to the flesh would rather have Jesus in flesh, even if he was in Hong Kong, they'd rather get a ticket and go there, than have God by his spirit living in your spirit, and you would have then the accountability and responsibility of nurturing a spiritual relationship from within. They'd rather just go see somebody. And the proof is just look at Christian TV. Look at the emphasis. It's all about... I don't look at it. My point is...
I can't stand Christian TV, but the guys make me watch it all the time.
I know, because they make you watch it so you can...
They do. They literally... I mean, you know, the other night...
Learn what is wrong, right?
The other night I was in my living room and the TV just was on. The TV just came on and there it is. We're waiting. And they have this camera pan this room. There must have been 15 to 20 people in this room in little cubicles with these little
headphone
things with a little microphone in front of their mouth. And they says, this is our prayer team. We're waiting for you to call. And this is what you get for a $20, they were called love offerings.
Mm-hmm.
Love offerings. So I called him up.
Okay, good.
Okay, we got some text here. It says strength. And went walking and leaping and praising God. Then the man at the pool of Bethesda was looking for healing and would say this, that there is. And that's all the text is. So I think they're quoting something out of the book.
Yeah.
You know what they're talking about?
Yeah, but I don't know. They haven't got to the question yet, have they?
There wasn't. It was just a comment. That's all they wrote.
Okay, so they're talking about the man going into the temple gate. Peter and John said, such as I have, give I thee.
Here's it.
What are they saying?
That's it. That's all it says. Then the man at the pool of Bethesda was looking for healing. Would you say that there is? Their text stopped there.
Okay, we'll There's have no to wait more. Till they get to my text.
Oh, guess what? Remember, isn't Cheryl's husband named Todd?
Yeah.
Boy, I hope so. If not.
It is.
It's live radio. You get what you get. It says, this is Todd. Cheryl texted me, I'm working, but I'm listening and love where this is going. Thanks.
Oh, that's great.
I think that's cool. Oh, Stacy said she was fixing supper. She sent us a menu. Oh, it says...
I'm going to be more hungry when I hear it.
Chicken... What's a chicken tender?
That's the tender part of the chicken breast, and they usually put breading around it.
It says she's chicken tenders browned in olive oil, seasoned just right, sautéed red potatoes and onions and broccoli. I still think mine's better.
Huh? You do? I don't know what I'm getting tonight, so I think this sounds pretty good.
Well, when me and Ranger get off the show, I got the show up and loaded. It takes about 15, 20 minutes. Then we check fences and gates. Ranger is going to get her, you know, food that she gets and a fresh egg from the chicken coop every day. I'm having pork spare ribs.
Barbecue sauce?
No, just some a mesquite honey rub. Okay. So they're not, you know, so you can, you know, they're not a mess. All gratin potatoes.
Oh, I like those.
Green beans. Fresh fruit salad with cottage cheese. And then fresh apple pie for dessert. That's what I'm having.
That sounds pretty good.
It says, would you say that there's a common denominator of looking in these two stories? I guess that's from the person that said strength and went walking and leaping and praising God.
Right.
Do you understand what they're saying? Because this has to do with right out of the book scripture, and I don't know.
You know, the common denominator would be that Jesus and Peter and John were used as vessels to help these people act on the power of God that was present. Mm-hmm. That's about all I can say. I don't know where you're going with that, but yeah, there is a little bit of a common denominator.
We got somebody named Leanne.
Okay.
This is her first live show.
Okay, great.
Says she likes it. I think the most common denominator that's in the book, if you go through it consistently, is that everybody, it's the Ranger Theory. And if you don't know what the Ranger Theory is, go to the Abiding Presence website, click on the Theories page, and read the Ranger Theory. Everywhere in Scripture, it shouts from a rooftop about the Ranger Theory, which is the individual relationship with God, and that everybody's relationship is their own and their own responsibility and choice as to the intensity is a good word.
Yeah.
Intensity, the value of it is a good word. The productivity of it is a good word.
Right.
Because doesn't it say in Scripture that some people will paint houses, some people will park cars, other people will work for Stanley Steamer?
First Corinthians 12.
Why are you laughing?
Because of your interpretation.
Well, what does it say? Find that.
Well, I'll find it. I know what it says.
But, you know, it talks about, you know, that you know, somebody will work at Walmart, somebody will, you know, work at Target. But what Scripture is saying is that your own relationship with God is either yours to enjoy, yours to enhance and take advantage of, or you just have a foot in the door. And see, I think that organized religion throws a blanket over that because we're glad you're here. We're all equal here.
Right.
Everybody's the same in the eyes of the Lord. We are all the same in the eyes of the Lord, but what he's saying is, okay, here's the starting line. You can walk, you can crawl, you can run, you can build a helicopter, you can go as far as you want, because if you think there's limits and boundaries, which is what they're saying,
right,
then that goes against the fact that there are no limits and boundaries.
Right.
Did you find what you're looking
for?
Yeah,
I did. That's why I'm laughing. It says over in 1 Corinthians 12:14, "For in fact, the body is not one member, but many." I'm laughing just thinking of your interpretation. Anyhow, if the foot should say, "Because I'm not a hand, I am not of the body," is it therefore not of the body? And if an ear should say, "Because I am not not an eye, am I not of the body?" It is therefore not of the body. So it says here, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." And he goes on to then just talk about every member of the body has honor, and there's no necessarily greater honor. It goes on to say, "But God composed the body, having greater honor to that part which lacks it." And so then he says some other things about, "Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, do all have gifts of healings, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way." So that was your interpretation, but yes, God and Jesus did the same thing. He validates everything Paul's writing there. He endeavored to get people to become individuals.
What about that kid with the slingshot, Leon? Leon, who took the slingshot and
he killed a giant. What was his name?
Killed the giant. What, the giant's name?
Yeah.
I don't know. What, Big Leon, Little Leon? I don't know why. What's it? The point being is that when Leon had the slingshot,
yes,
and he picked up the stone, it wasn't about how big the stone was or how good he was with a slingshot. What really beat the snot out of the giant was what? Grace.
Yeah, I mean,
and his belief in grace.
Right.
And so if you look at that story of Leon and his slingshot and the stone and the fact that it was all about grace.
Every bit of the story of David and Goliath was, and with David taking his place to kill Goliath, had to do with him acting as a spiritual being.
Oh, it was David?
David, yeah. The Goliath
wasn't Leon?
No.
Close enough.
Right.
Close enough.
And so, but that's the point of some of these questions, is everything that David said was different than everything that everyone else said in the army. Now, there's an importance here. David is out with the sheep. Think about this. His brothers that he was sent to find out how the battle was going and to give them some food, his brothers and all the rest of those that were in the army, and Saul, who is the king, all of them are absorbed together, and none of them have a spiritual connection or have a spiritual perspective. None of them.
Actually, it's more like misery loves company, because one man's fear is putting gas on the fire for another man's fear and doubt.
So for 40 days, Goliath gets up and he mocks God and he says, "Which one of you is going to come down here to fight me?" And he says, "If you win, then you can have us. If we win, we take over. So the Bible says that they feared him greatly, and even Saul, who was a foot higher than everyone else, so let's just say the Jews at that time were around 5'9", 5'10".
Right.
Saul's 6'10". He's like a basketball player. And Goliath is somewhere, the theologians say, between 9 and 13 feet tall. Okay?
Wow.
A huge guy, all right? And it says Saul, listening to Goliath, his knees knocked together. All right? He was fearful. It's running rampant in the whole camp. And David comes on the scene and says, "Hey, who's this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy God?" And that's the first time anybody spoke as a spiritual being. And David speaking as a spirit caused the rest of them to feel very intimidated. In fact, his brother mocked him by saying, "So what are you up to talking like this?"
Well, that's good.
It just shows you the difference. When you start looking and acting as a spirit, it's going to be 100% different from everybody else.
I think it's time to ask if we've helped these people that ask these questions. Did we actually cover what they said? I need more understanding on the topic. Did we help someone that said, can you give examples of good decisions? Oh, we haven't given good decisions for our spirit. Remember what I said about those bumper stickers and bracelets?
Yes. About what would Jesus do?
Yeah, do you think that would help them?
Yeah, I do.
I don't know if anybody remembers or not, but there used to be something that was kind of in style.
Yeah,
a bumper sticker, a bracelet. It said, what?
WWJD.
Yeah, what would John Deere do? Well, I mean, you know, when I hear JD, I think of tractors.
John Deere.
There's a John Deere tractor literally 10
feet. On the other side of the wall.
On the other side of this wall, there's a John Deere tractor. So when somebody says WW John Deere, I think, okay, they're talking about a wide front end John Deere tractor. Okay, what would Jesus do? I think that was a great frame of mind. Because I take it farther. I say, okay, am I going to buy into this or am I going to be a spirit being and let grace take care of it? It's about making choices. Because your knee-jerk reaction is to get upset, to get road rage. Your knee-jerk reaction is to count how many items are in a shopping cart in front of you at the 12 items or less. Your knee-jerk reaction is to get upset because someone got a raise and you didn't. Your knee-jerk reaction is is to say, well, if their kid got to do it, why didn't my kid got to do it? Your knee-jerk reaction is, well, I have to spend this money on our lawn because of all the neighbors' lawns are spending this money. When in reality, you dismiss all these things.
Right, right. And that's the difference of your perspective.
I don't think people understand the ability of grace, God's love, the hand of God, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, whatever name you want to give it is fine. I don't think that some really understand the capabilities of grace. Because they will literally sit back and watch a television show. They'll read a book. They'll listen to a lecture. They'll even listen to you and I on this show talk about how someone had a lump.
Right.
How someone was paralyzed and they walk. How a six-year-old kid lifts the car off of a dog. I mean, they'll listen to these really just earth-shattering, unusual events in life because they're random. But yet at the same time, they can't imagine ever enjoying that themselves. Because inadvertent learning has shown them that there's only so much to expect. There's only so much that you get. Because they'll be somewhere and they'll say, there's 1,000 of us in this auditorium right now, and we've got 20 people down here waiting for the healing. Isn't that glorious, ladies and gentlemen? And everybody's happy that 20 people. Well, obviously, all 1,000 of them are looking for something, or otherwise they would have went miniature golfing instead of going to this auditorium listen to that person.
Right.
So in reality, they're saying 900... And 80 of us don't get anything. And we're supposed to celebrate and be happy that 20 did. What about that? Sounds like the overwhelming love and unmeasurable power of God.
Right. Well, there's all kinds, if you really begin to investigate, and this is something that would be good for people to do, and it's not being critical, it's just literally beginning to see what is and what's not. But begin to investigate in the religious services that are going on, how much of what's going on is literally conditioning them to be doubtful of what God can do.
I disagree with you. I think people should be extremely critical. I think that they should. I think they should listen to every word that is being said to them from a stage or a pulpit. I think they should sit there. I think they should take a pen and paper and make notes and say, this person has been using a cane for 15 years. This whole congregation has prayed for this person every month like clockwork. The person leading the proceedings is saying, I can't sing this week because my doctor told me to take a week off. I think that's part of the problem, Jim. I think people are not critical enough. I think that's part of the inadvertent learning.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I just didn't use that word.
No,
because when I'm talking about investigating, that's exactly what I want people to do.
I think that organized religion is like being a prisoner in line with a metal tray, and they just give you what there is. Just one, everybody gets a spoonful, and they just slam it on the metal plate and say, next.
Right.
And so you get what everybody else gets. And somebody just says, how does healing fit into inadvertent learning? Well, healing fits into inadvertent learning by statements like this. Yes, I know I've been healed. Yes, I know Jesus' blood paid for it. I'm just waiting for the manifestation.
Right.
And Jesus would not put anything in my life that I can't handle.
Yeah,
and what doesn't kill me will make me stronger. And I'm a piece of metal, and I'm just supposed to be molded. And this is just part of my journey. And we don't always understand God's plan. We're just simple people. And so we just have to swallow and just accept it. Where? And so inadvertent learning is being born into a world that passes this message along.
Right, right. And it's constantly going on.
That's how it fits into healing.
I've been in services where they stopped in the middle of someone coming up that was in a wheelchair and made a huge to-do about that they don't have miracles in their life, but we do have healing, so we need to get everybody to stretch out their hands and everybody pray together about this person being in a wheelchair. And not once in 10 years that I watched that did I ever see somebody get out of that chair. Because everything that was being done was telling them, you're most likely not going to get it because we need everybody here to pray for you. We don't have the proper equipment to get it done, but we're just going to beg God to do something, and nothing works. And these are the type of things that people are exposed to. And because religion and religious services don't help you to have your own relationship, because you're not even able to ask questions. In most places that people go to what they consider to be church, you can't ask the tough question. You're just supposed to accept what's being given. You're supposed to sit there and be a part of the show or be a part of the whole group. But you can't ask the tough questions like, how come nobody ever gets out of the chair? Why don't you guys ever heal somebody? How is it that God hasn't given you, he's given you this equipment, but hasn't given you that equipment?
Well, we've held your show to that accountability. I said the greatest compliment that your radio show can ever have is when someone emails the show and says goodbye.
Right.
We've had that happen.
Right.
I think twice now.
Yes.
We've had somebody say, I've got it. I'm talking with God every day. Grace is in my life. I'm seeing things happen hourly. Thank you and take care. I would be very disappointed we actually have an anniversary. Tonight is our 53rd show from the ranch.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like a year.
No.
Seems like 40. But you're tough to work with. You're always going off on these tangents, these crazy jokes. You're always just like, you know, you really need to just be more serious.
Tone it down a little bit, huh?
Well, it's your show, so I just sit back respectfully and say, whatever. But I would be very disappointed if this show is 10 years old and somebody comes up to me and says, I've listened to all 10 years of your show and I think it's really great. And they say, I have questions.
Right.
You know, I'm almost there.
Well, we haven't done our job if that's the case.
No, I mean, I've always thought of this show as being like a roadmap mm-hmm. from point A to point B. I mean, if you live, we're in Oklahoma. We're in Oklahoma, and we want to go to California, and we've never been to California before, so we buy a roadmap. Well, once we're in California, why would we need the roadmap? We'd fold it up, stick it in the glove box of the cab mm-hmm. of the truck, and we wouldn't need it anymore. It did its job. I think, and I've said this before about the Bible, I look at the Bible that way. It's a roadmap. It's a recipe book. It's telling you to go, team, go. This is the right thing. This is how you do it. Now do it. Because unless there's always growth, then the fact that there's no growth, and you know, people say, you know, I've been gone all summer. Oh, I love this sermon. He does this sermon 3 or 4 times a year. It's my favorite one. And it says, you know, I mean, I had a guy tell me that he says, I was in jail for 6 months and I couldn't wait to get back to where I worship because it was great. It was like I never left. And I just says, where else would you go that you want it to be the same in 6 months, other than like for a happy meal at McDonald's?
Right.
And he, you know, of course he got offended, you know, and he says, do you know what you're talking about? And I says, well, if you think I'm talking about God, we're not. I says, because if it's always productive.
Right. Always moving forward.
Yeah. So I think that's how inadvertent learning, to answer their question, how does healing fit into inadvertent learning? Healing is progress, because if you're being healed, then the progress shows you're connecting with your spirit, which is connecting with the Holy Spirit, which means grace is in your life.
Yeah.
You've said it many, many times. I think it's one of the best things that you've ever said, is that if you could separate your body from your spirit, you'd be 100% healthy,
yeah.
And there would be nothing wrong.
Healing would be easy if it weren't for your body.
And yeah. And I think, and see, for people to... it's very hard to tell somebody that the things that they think are important aren't. Because if they're 20, or they're 35,
oh, yeah.
Or they're
yeah.
55, what you're saying is that you're literally saying that for 20,
yeah.
35, or 55 years.
You've been going the wrong way or wasting your time.
You've been wasting your time.
Yeah, that part's very difficult for people. And that's the part where, as I'm preaching and especially ministering this around the country, and we'll have to talk about Wednesday night because we always have really good services Wednesday night. This is one of the things that I think people struggle with the most, and why it gets real quiet when you're talking about this. Because people have a real hard time looking at their life and seeing that it would be any other way, because they feel extremely trapped in their routine and that they can't change that routine. And at the same time, they pretty well feel like if you're going to say you've got to turn your back on this world to find God, that becomes a very difficult thing for most people to do. Well,
we got a comment here. It says, where do I start deprogramming? I understand, but people have asked me this question about deprogramming. Where do they start? The first, where would you start? Where did you start? Where would you, if someone said, okay, I get what you're saying on this radio show tonight, but where do I start? Where's my starting point?
Well,
you answer that?
My starting point was the word identity. Identifying who I am and identifying who Jesus is. Because just like we talked about with the bracelet, you know, the WWJD, what would
right.
Jesus do? The moment you recognize you are a spirit and that Jesus lives in you and his spiritual power or grace is with you, then you begin to identify in a brand new way everything about your life. And the more you include him, the more you see. It's just pretty much of an easy recipe.
I started with the fact that I was pointless. I started with the personal assessment, the humbling.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, okay, I didn't start with how good I am. I started with, how bad am I? What would technically be considered a sin, a bad choice? What would be considered something that would be unchristlike, not like a Christian? You know, and then I was real, real absolute and real harsh about it. You know, and I'd say, okay, somebody cut me off, so I cut them off. They're going to be in a bad mood, so I'm going to be in a bad mood. Someone said something to me that hurt my feelings, so I'm going to say something that hurt their feelings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I got very petty with myself. And I mean, I went with very small things. I didn't say, okay, I haven't killed anybody. Right. You know, I haven't stolen a Swan's ice cream truck, although I still will.
Uh-huh.
That's my... I mean, my number one goal in life is to steal a Swan's ice cream truck and give free ice cream to people all around town. Yeah, but the black cherry, no, it goes home with me. But to really just assess, you know, am I tough on people around me? Am I good to the employees that work on the ranch? Am I good to my dog, my horses? Do I take good care of the equipment? I really just did a laundry list of everything that I see, touch, and taste, and smell that comes in contact with me. And then I says, what little thing could I do that would make these situations just a frog's hair better? And then I said, okay, now at the same time, every morning when I get up, I'm going to look for ways to just change something simple. I'm also going to see, where is God's presence in this? And all of a sudden, bam, like a light switch, grace was everywhere.
That's good.
I mean, it was literally like watching black and white TV, and all of a sudden it's color, high definition with the flip of a switch. Because at the same time grace helps you, one of the biggest things grace does is educate you.
Yeah, sure. It's a teacher.
And give you examples of, don't touch this. Don't say that. Don't worry about this. I'm going to eliminate it because it's of the flesh of the world. We got a couple emails that just came in here. The first one came in about, wow, that's weird. It just showed up. It says it was sent 54 minutes ago. But it just showed up now. That's kind of weird. It says, hi, Jim and BJ. It says, knowing how to partake of the benefit of John 4:10, 14, and 7:38 would help. The water is real. One can drink. What does it mean and how? And then it says, in respect of work and God's providence, how does Matthew 6:33 fit with 2 Th 3:10-13? What's Th?
2 Thessalonians, what?
I don't know. Is there more than one Timothy?
Oh, T-I?
No, T-H. Says number, it says 2 Th 3:10-13. Immediate answer to prayer each and every time. And then J-A-M 1:3. You are correct. The most people do not know their spirit or the Holy Spirit. I don't understand any of what this person wrote. And then at the end it says you don't have to read it. I wish they would have put that at the beginning. Okay, we got another email here. This is from someone named Rhonda. It says, dear Jim and BJ, I'm sending this again in case it got lost in junk mail. I guess Rhonda wanted to say hello. So I guess hello to Rhonda.
Now, did she send that earlier?
Just now. It came in 2 minutes ago. That's all it says is, dear Jim and BJ.
Yeah, well, thank you, Rhonda, for sending it. We do say hello.
Okay. Now, all right, how do you feel so far in tonight's show, Jim? How do you feel comfortable with what we're saying to people? And do you think we're clear?
I don't have any reason to think that we're not. I mean, these are things that I think we need to constantly discuss, because this is where people are really struggling the most, is recognizing that they're a spiritual being.
The problem with talking so specifically and precise about being a spirit being in your life is that number one, I'm a big believer in minding my own business and respecting people's privacy. And number two is, this is an internet radio show. we don't even know what they look like or where, you know, who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Or what they, you know, remember before the show I said, I'm amazed that we don't go at each other daily. Because everybody's sense of reality is completely...
Yeah, so different.
Different than each person.
Uh-huh.
What's a good meal, what's a bad meal, what's a good TV show, what isn't. You know, I mean, there's 31 flavors at Baskin-Robbins, but now there's frozen yogurt. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, you couldn't choose between 31 flavors. Now you have to have, you know, something else. I mean, I've always found that the diversity of people is so vast that I'm surprised that we agree on anything at all as a country, as the United States of America, or as a civilization in 2013. But as this pertains to someone's connection with God, is the first thing they need to do is they need to look at this as a very personal, private journey.
Right. Right.
I mean, if they're married or they're engaged or they're dating or living with someone or whatever, brother, sister, cousins, whatever, the thing they have to do is they can talk to each other, but they have to realize that if they try to do it step by step and go at the same pace and at the same speed, all they're doing is mirroring what is wrong with organized religion.
Yeah.
Keeping people together, because that scripture you said.
Right.
The individuality of people.
Right. Yeah, and in fact, I'm going to share a couple things here that I think will be good. One, I'm going to the question about how I get started, I'm going to give a testimony because, BJ, you and I talked a while back, and you had given me just some thoughts, and now I understand why you gave it to me because of your own personal testimony as far as how you got started, where you just kind of made a laundry list that was very detailed. And you were talking to me about, this would be a good thing for people because if you're not experiencing grace, then really you need to repent, or there needs to be a humbling because you're experiencing something else. And so on the Wednesday night Bible studies, we ask people to just make a list, and it might be long, it might be short, who knows, but make a list of the things that bother you, that frustrate you, that stress you out, brings anxiety, brings fear, brings confusion, makes you mad, makes you sad, glad. Make a list of those things and then begin to see that in that list are the places that you're actually giving your energy to, you could say it that way, or that you're giving your time to, and all of that that really confuses you or makes you stressed out, all of that are hindrances to you fellowshipping as a spiritual being. Well, I had someone just come up today that listens to our show regularly, and she said in healing school how much that making that list really, in fact, you made a comment that was very close to what hers was. It's as though once you've put it down on paper, it's like as though you kind of own that, and you can move on from that place once you see that this is something that I give myself to that hinders me. It's as though once you write it down, you can actually move beyond it where grace can help you. So I really like his testimony on that. And I'm going to give you a further testimony on something that has been helping me tremendously. And it's as though it's unlocked the voice of God, the presence of God in my life. And that is, remember Paul said over in Galatians 2:20, he said, I've died and now, one translation said, I've died and now I'm enjoying my second existence, which is simply Jesus using my body. The King James says, I've been crucified with Christ, and it's nevertheless no longer I that live, but Christ that lives within me. And I just took that and started saying every day, Lord, thank you that you live inside of me, and you can go ahead and take care of this body today and think through this mind. As long as you're there, I'm not even going to compete with you. I just thank you that you can go ahead and take over. And I'm going to really enjoy the day watching you use my body and use my mind. And as simple as that was to me, what it did was it literally brought an awareness of God instantly to my life. And it opened up my mind and my heart to hear God's voice tremendously fast. So you're hearing two different ways of starting, and yet they're all bringing us to the same place of really having a very tangible relationship with God.
Well, look at...
I like the uniqueness.
Okay, look at those four books that I always refer to as four guys, stenographers, standing on four corners of a street, right.
The
of
Gospels.
An intersection.
The Gospels.
Yeah. John, Mark, Matthew, and Louis.
That's right. And what was Louis' profession before he started traveling with Jesus? Do you remember?
Professional wrestler? I don't know. What does it even matter?
You were doing good. I was just trying to see if we go a step further. He was a doctor. And once he got with Jesus, he didn't practice anymore.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Just information.
All right. Do you remember you were telling me about the girls at the pawn shop and the snake bite? What was it?
Yeah. Yeah. It was a spider bite.
See, I think that's a good testimony.
Yeah, that was Penny.
Penny and your wife.
Mm-hmm.
Penny and your wife, they work at the jewelry counter at the pawn shop. And which one of them got the spider bite?
Penny had a spider bite and...
Tell that story. I think it's a good one.
Because
it talks about, it shows grace. It shows how easy it is to get distracted. It shows how one person can help another person, but yet it's up to that person to do it.
Yeah.
Come here, Ranger.
Penny had a spider bite. Now, I might get the story. Hopefully, I won't get it mixed up. But anyhow, and she went to the doctor, and, she texted Aaron and just about where Grace was. And Aaron's reply was perfect and just showed her that what she was doing was giving more reality to the spider bite than it was to God. And I just can't tell you how I was elated and pleased, and so was Aaron. I mean, Penny's response immediately was, I'm leaving right now. And she just got up and left the doctor's office and was actually mad that she actually went because she saw it. It was very clear to her. And she went back to work, and it wasn't long at all, and all the pain disappeared, and the swelling went down, and what was all black in the center and turning blacker where the spider had bitten turned back to just fleshly pink color. And she wrote back to Aaron with a great report that just said, I'm getting this, I am learning about grace, and I'm so excited about it. And just to let you know, a good testimony like that, you don't just rejoice for them. Boy, it stirs you up yourself. So it definitely blessed us too, both Aaron and myself.
One of the things that I talked about was, remember I said I was listening to a radio advertisement with someone? And they commented, they says, oh, this is the new pill I'm taking. And I said,
right.
Yeah. And they go to one of the larger, is it the largest or one of the largest?
One of the largest.
One of the largest structural religious doctrine mumbo jumbo buildings in Tulsa, as far as I'm concerned. And anyways, they said, oh, and I, and they said, and she goes, thank God, this is such a blessing for this new pill. And I go, God has nothing to do with this pill. And she says, well, we're made in his image. And so if we're made in his image, a person invented this pill, and it's helping people, so this pill is through...
From God.
From God. And I said, I said, shut up and listen to this. And the commercial, you know, because this is in a 30-second commercial, you know, this conversation is, you know, bam, 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 bam. And all of a sudden you get to the end, this guy says, and if you have high blood pressure, this, or if you blink more than this, and if you go upstairs, or if you want to eat, can't
sounds
make
like
a sandwich.
An auctioneer.
Yeah, you can't make a sandwich if you're on this medication. Please be careful and don't have it around kids or pregnant rabbits, you know. And it's like, I said, almost 25% of this 30-second commercial is telling you the side effects of this pill.
Right.
I said, so you're telling me that someone made in the image of God with Jesus' blessing and has created a pill that's a wonderful thing, it would have side effects? I says, where in Scripture...
Do you see side? Yeah.
I says, where in Scripture does it say, you know what, drink this wine, but... you may start going to the bathroom like a goose eating whole kernel corn. You know, eat this bread that I've just made for you, but you might get gas from it.
Right.
You know, I've cured your sight. You can see now, but... but just disregard the limp. It's just kind of, you know, if I make somebody see and they've been blind and now their eyes work, sometimes you limp. It's just one of the side effects.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, of course, you know, she called me a bunch of names and said I was sarcastic. And I said, come on, think about this.
Right.
I says, and then she says, well, you're just too harsh. You're too matter of fact. And I says, you mean like absolute? She goes, yes, that's the word. You're just too absolute. And I said, well, so is that book on the front seat of your pickup truck.
And that was probably the end of the conversation, right?
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah. She drove away, and I would bet a shiny new diamond she was driving away, she wasn't praying for me.
No, probably not. Probably not. So, you know, you take the moral of all this that we're talking about, and I trust tonight you're beginning to even that much more draw closer to the idea and understanding that as a spiritual being, you don't have to try to make things happen. You don't have to try to be in contact with your spirit because you are a spirit. Change the way you see things. Change your perspective in life from seeing everything through the eyes of your flesh and how it affects your senses, and just immediately begin to see your life through the eyes of your spirit. In other words, how does God view this? How does he see it? And the connection is already there for you to experience. What do we have coming in?
Well, we just had a text come in. It said, how do you help chronically ill person who is open to change, listens to the show, and getting no results? I'm not...
Okay.
Go ahead. What do you? I'll read it again, and tell me what your answer is.
All right.
How do you help chronically ill person who is open to change, listens to the show, and getting no results?
Well, grace is, you know, when you have a connection with your spirit to God, grace is the power that eliminates all that junk. So the fact that there's no results, you have to check up on and do an assessment just like we're talking about tonight. Maybe write that little list and find out where you're spending your time and where you're, what you're giving yourself to and where your values are because of your spirit, because all sins have been forgiven and bad choices have been forgiven. Of your spirit, grace is immediate. Grace is powerful, and it begins to work not in days and months and years, but it begins to work immediately.
Well, the question is, how do you help chronically ill person who is open to change, listens to the show, and getting no results? I think this is a very important question. I think it's a very serious question. And I think, sadly, it's a shame that we don't personally know this person. We don't know if it's a man or a woman or a little blue man from Venus. And also, we really don't know enough about their lives.
The situation.
Right. But all that being said, there's a phrase in here. There's a couple things in here that I find, let's say, unproductive, counterproductive, swimming against the current, so to speak.
Okay.
Self-destructive, a hurdle, you know, a closed door. It says, how do you help a chronically ill person who is open to change? All right. Chronically ill, open to change, no results. That's a very, if you take that, if you eliminate everything else and you say chronically ill, open to change, no results. If you just take it at face value, because unfortunately,
right,
that's all we have. It's a text message,
right,
you know, screwed to the wall here in the barn. When you say open to change, that means you haven't changed. It just means that you're open to it. Where's the conviction? Where's the commitment? Where's the humbling? Where's the, I'm done being a human being, I want to be a spirit being? Because what they've literally just told me is their thought process.
Right.
Because emotions and feelings lead to thoughts, and thoughts lead to actions. We've talked before
about
this recipe that I live my life on. What they're telling me is that for every action, the reaction, and the reaction they're having is, I'm open to change. They haven't said I've changed. It says I'm open to it. And then it says chronically ill. And then it says no results.
Right.
Well, what they're telling me is they haven't changed. They haven't seen grace. They haven't connected with their spirit. But what they're really focused on is they feel bad all the time. So they're putting all their energy and all their acknowledgement is on the flesh and of this world. And if you literally are absolute and you're really harsh and you don't, it's not that we don't care, but if we dismiss somebody's personal feelings, there's no mention of Christianity in this sentence.
Yeah.
It's not like they said, I'm in touch with my spirit being, I'm in touch with God, I've seen grace in my life, because if they really have, there wouldn't be a text to send.
Right.
This is about attitude. It's about choices. It's about the frame of mind, and your attitude and your choices and your frame of mind dictate the life that you lead.
Yeah.
And the choices and the attitude and the frame of mind of this sentence is, I don't feel good, I haven't changed, and I'm not getting any results.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good assessment.
I don't know how else to look at this. This is the way I look at it. I mean, I've hurt this person's feelings, but if someone is going to show me the respect to ask such a serious question, I'm going to give them a serious answer.
Yeah.
For no other reason than the sheer respect that they gave us to ask such a thing.
Right. Right.
I mean, do you think I was too
No,
tough?
I think it's breaking it down really well. I liked it. It's kind of like a cop looking at all the different symptoms or what's going on and kind of piecing it together and seeing where somebody really is at.
You want to say something to music?
Yeah. Father in heaven, we just thank you right now for this show, for what we've been able to accomplish. And I thank you for everyone that's listening. I'm really excited for everyone. And Father, I thank you that the humility in our hearts is met by the grace of God. So I pray for everyone to be able to let their pride go, their ego, whatever holds them back, and just enjoy the presence of God in a humble spirit that's willing to invite the presence of God or the grace of God to just do everything in their life. Let it be real to them even as we speak. And as we close this time together, I ask you, Lord God, to cause between now and the next time that we get together, there to be just a wonderful testimony in everyone that's listening of the grace of God, healing and health and strength and wholeness. Everything that we talk about on this show, let it be experienced in these people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, what'd you think tonight?
Well, it's good. In fact, that last bit right there, I think, in my opinion, was the very best.
Really?
Yeah.
Me beating up on a poor, innocent listener, victim?
No, it's the words that actually will make a change in that person's life. And I think it's great to see the strength of piecing that together and really coming up with where someone was at. I think it's good for everyone to hear, because what that does is it helps us to do assessments in a little bit of a different way of our own selves.
Just got a text that came in. It says, thanks for a great show tonight. This is from Cheryl.
Well, good. Cheryl and Todd.
Cheryl and Todd, Oklahoma.
Yep.
Well, I think this is a good place to stop. I think we've given people enough to think about, don't
yes,
you?
Yes, I really do.
Folks, I want to thank everybody that emailed the show. I want to thank everybody that texted the show. And more importantly, I want to say hello and thank you to the people listening. And also, hello and thank you to the people that don't have the opportunity to log on and listen to the live show on a Tuesday night. I know Jim and I both realize, and we're very grateful, that you listen when you can. That's why we stream it 24 hours, 7 days a week. We know you're out there, so we want to say hello to you. And are you going to be in the studio next week?
Yes.
Hardesty Library tomorrow night?
Yes.
Okay. Folks, take care of yourselves and your pets. And Jim and I will be here next Tuesday night, the first Tuesday of May. Take care.
Good night, everyone.